Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Hire stepping into the NFL and already looking to make changes and criticize the way things are done here. The discussion we had a little bit earlier in the show, we'll get back into it in a minute. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. It's Bart and Han with Chris Canty. In for the guys. We want to be want you to be part of the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 with our question of the day. What your team's worst free agent signing would be, if you could think of one, any sport, not just NFL, any sport, your favorite team, and there's that one free agent, you're like, man, what were we thinking? Who would that be for you? But let's just, again, back on the Urban Meyer comments that we talked about earlier in the show, is him criticizing the way the NFL, he calls it bad business. The fact that you can't talk to players before free agency begins, but yet there's the so-called legal tampering where agents do the talking and you can arrange things, and then it's a sort of shotgun wedding because you don't really meet with the player. But in the league, you kind of know who guys are, right? Like, you know who people are. I know who Bart Scott was. I know who Chris Canty was. I watched Dallas. I know what he was about. If I wanted him, I already knew because I had tape, I had film, I knew all about him. Bart Scott with the Ravens, if I wanted to sign him, I knew everything about it. I had his tape, had everything he did, have his agent. I'm not worried. I don't have to sit down. Urban Meyer was a college coach. Yeah. He's used to the living room and the parents and sitting down and having coffee and giving his speech and everything and else, getting to know the family and whatever else you want to add to it. So how do you think, Chris, that kind of comment for, by him stepping into the NFL is received by others in the NFL?
Well, yeah, I think that other decision makers around the NFL are saying, get used to it. This is how we operate.
Right.
But as far as Urban is concerned, first of all, when it comes to grading players, most of that grade is done by what you see on the tape. Like, I remember my position coach when I was in Dallas, Casey Rogers, who was the defensive line coach for the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He used to say that the tape is your resume. You don't have a piece of paper. The tape is your resume, and it's also his resume. And so I just think when you start trying to evaluate players and whether or not they're going to be a fit, a big part of that is what you see on the tape. The other part is, what's the reputation of that player around NFL circles?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Urban Meyer has been a coach in college football. You don't think that NFL teams have been knocking at his door to ask about his players at Ohio State? It's not like he can't reach out to coaches and try to get a bead on guys that he might be interested in that are impending free agents. So, again, this is one of those situations where you got to utilize all the resources that are available to you in order to make a good decision for your franchise. But Urban Meyer can't come up with this ridiculous excuse as to – you know, why it's hard in free agency because, you know, they don't have an opportunity to sit down with the players.
That sounded like a bit of a lot of inexperience came out in there. I think he kind of exposed himself as someone who was inexperienced and maybe also frustrated that perhaps they had money to spend and nobody wanted to go to Jacksonville.
They're like, no, I'm good. No, I'm straight.
Right? Like who knows? But it's just to say that, right, it's exactly right, Chris. He should kind of know how the process works, shouldn't he?
This is what he was signing up for. Like, I know that he had the number one overall pick and he has a chance to draft Trevor Lawrence, which is why he came out of retirement to coach.
Right.
But a part of being in the NFL is doing free agency this way. And so for him to say, well, you know what, I don't like the way the first week has played out for us, so I'm going to come out and criticize the process, that says more about you and your program than it does about the NFL, because last time I checked, business is booming for the NFL.
It shows his lack of preparation, right? You come in, when in Rome, do what the Romans do. So you got to understand, you got to get caught up to speed. You should have been more prepared than anybody else because
that's
you took
on your
the job
front
early.
Office.
Exactly. And
but I didn't get a chance to sell my program to you? Like, is that what it is? If I sat down with that kid, he would have signed with us. Maybe that's what he believes, is I didn't get a chance to sell Jacksonville to the player who said no to us, or his agent who said no to us.
Yeah.
That's probably his frustration. But, like you said, your resume is the tape. This season for him will be his resume for future free agents.
Yep.
He is the unknown right now, even though he's a proven commodity in college, not so much in the NFL, especially a franchise like that and what they've gone through.
And let me also say this, hiring that strength coach out of Iowa didn't do him any favors either.
Exactly.
Because there's players in the NFL that were a part of that program that know how stuff went down, and they're saying, why would I sign up to play for a head coach?
And then he tried
that decided this was the best direction to go. And keep in mind, Alan, the strength coach, as Bart will tell you, that's one of the coaches that players spend the most time with of any of the people that are on the staff. So to go out and think that this was a good hire, I'm just saying maybe there's a little lack of awareness when it comes to Urban understanding the inner workings of the NFL.
And he needs to learn his personnel too, right? The NBA for years have had Worldwide West, correct? He needs to understand his biggest ally down there is Lil Duval. So if he want to get to the players, he got to call Lil Duval. You know what I'm saying?
Well, is this a little bit
smiled?
Is this a little similar to when Chip Kelly came in and he tried to change everything?
Yeah, right? He tried to do it his way.
It worked for a year.
It did.
Man, it worked for a year.
Like Chip Kelly. Fast offense. First of all, is Chip Kelly still coaching? Because first of all, let me look in the camera for Chip Kelly.
Oh, Chip Kelly.
First of all, if you're gonna be telling me what type of shakes I need to be drinking and eating, you can't be looking like a Teletubby yourself, man.
Whoa,
Teletubby!
Shots fired.
It's like your strength coach being fat. Like, bro, really? Like, no, I don't want to hear nothing from you because it ain't working out so well for you.
Coaching hires that were regrettable.
Go to sleep at nine. Yeah, get out of here.
Coaching hires regrettable. Also, free agents that have been regrettable. That has been kind of the topic today at 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776. And there is a name that is out there. Again, it's not just NFL. It's all sports. There is one name that definitely does resonate. We haven't heard it yet, but I think actually – we will. So, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take both calls that are coming up because they're both from Memphis. One's Brandon and one is Steve. And, guys, as we bring you in, I'm going to count to three. And then you're going to say the name of the player that you feel is the your team's worst free agent signing. You ready for this? Three, two, one, go.
Chandler Parsons.
Chandler Parsons.
Oh man, it hurts, man.
The poor guy. I mean, he did get injured. I mean, oft injured.
Yeah.
And the contract has been panned by all their NBA fans as well. But the Chandler Parsons contract was a brutal one.
Mm. Yeah, man. That
that was ugly,
right? You can't control obviously your.
You can't control injuries.
Yeah, injuries.
I mean, because you know Orlando would probably say Grant Hill. You know what I mean? He went down there, that ankle was jacked up.
That wasn't the greatest deal either. No.
Yeah, I mean, no. It was their fault because they botched the surgery. But you know,
but a part of your job as a player is being available, right?
Yeah,
being healthy,
Trizzle,
isn't it?
Now, how about Kyle Rudolph, Chris? I mean, I thought that was a terrific signing, but now it's not a signing.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Right? No, I'm saying it's sort of similar to this, although the Giants did not get caught yet signing a player that now might need surgery. As they did some look into his medicals.
Hey, you know how that is when they doing it that hurt. Nope.
I'm good.
But I actually saw that as a quality signing. What do you think happens there with Kyle Rudolph and the Giants?
Well, I think it depends on how comfortable Ronnie Barnes and the rest of the Giants medical staff is with his foot, and if they get to a place where the player and the team can be on the same page moving forward. Then I think it makes sense. I love the idea of Kyle Rudolph being a part of that offense and having that two tight end set because that allows Evan Engram to do more of the things that come natural to him, being detached from the formation, being more of a slot receiver than an inline tight end. And Kyle Rudolph can be that guy that's in the middle of the field, reliable target, big body guy. He can also help you capture the edge in the run game. Those are things that Joe Judge is interested in at that position. So I like the idea of Kyle Rudolph. But he's got to be healthy. If he's not healthy, then $8 million a year is a lot for a player of his ilk.
Just off topic, who do you think is going to have a better defensive line, Jets or Giants? Because I think it's getting a lot more interesting now.
Nah, I don't think it's interesting
at all.
So? I think it's the Giants right now.
Okay, name the three that you think is better than Sheldon Rankins if he can be healthy.
Well, that's a big,
Quentin Williams and Carl Lawson is a beast. I think it's closer than you think.
But Bart, that's a big if when it comes to Rankins. He hadn't been healthy the last couple of years. So I guess my biggest thing is this. When I look at the Giants, I feel like that defense has more of an identity than the Jets defense does. And so from that, I feel like you can rely on the production that you're going to get from guys like Leonard Williams and guys like Dexter Lawrence. I think like you can trust that a little bit more than where the Jets are at.
But I think it's really interesting, right? Because when you look at personnel-wise, I'm not talking about, listen, of course the Giants have the better corners, and of course that means that quarterbacks have to hold on to the – but I'm talking about just personnel-wise. I think it's a lot closer. I would say Quentin Williams is better than Dexter Lawrence. And it's going to come down to, is Carl Lawson, can he be as better than Big Cat, right? And then you look at Sheldon Rankins, who is a former first-round draft pick. So I think it's a lot more intriguing than people think because I think the Jets have quietly, very quietly, put together a great defensive line with Fuller, Falakasi, and then stuff coming in as complementary pieces. If they're running a 4-3, I think it could be interesting because I think if you guys go out and get the kid that can bend the edge from Michigan, then that's going to be a great add-on, somebody opposite Leonard Williams. But then the Jets can go get a veteran guy like Ryan Kerrigan, and then it's right back to the discussion.
All right, speaking of the draft and ways both New York teams can make themselves better, we're going to get to that in a moment. But want to tell you, obviously, it's Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, but it is not them. It is Bart and Hahn with Chris
Kenny.
We're
the replacement players. I'm like Shane Falco up in this piece.
We are brought to you by Mako. Get a refresh with your refund during Mako's tax season event for expert paint and collision repair. Use their contactless services. It's as easy as book, quote, fix. Uh-oh, better get Mako. Visit Mako.com today to schedule your free estimate. Terms and conditions apply. Trevor Mattis joins us right now, ESPN college football analyst. He joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Goodyear, Goodyear knows from here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs, and it takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear, more driven. Trevor, thanks for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Oh, it's great to join you. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, we here in New York see the Jets at number two, and we see Mel Kiper in his mock draft suddenly having a change of heart, where instead of the Jets trading that pick, he has them taking BYU quarterback Zach Wilson. You obviously are well connected to BYU, and you know the situation well. So we ask you, why has Zach Wilson risen to such a point where not only be the second quarterback taken in this draft, but the Jets would move on from Sam Darnold for him?
Well, I don't think the Jets should move on from Sam Darnold. I think Darnold has been behind the curve for reasons not his own fault, playing for the Jets. I mean, he came out of USC as a very young quarterback, didn't even know his own college system or college defense is the way he should coming into the NFL just because of limited time there. Then he goes to the Jets where he doesn't have anybody around him, especially at receiver. Protection was iffy, although they're getting better there. And then his coach, Adam Gase, you know, not known for developing quarterbacks in recent years. I think they should stay with Sam Darnold and build a team up around him with that pick. However, if they are going to go with a quarterback, then I think Zach Wilson would be phenomenal there. And the reason he has risen so fast is because of this one season, 2020. In 2019, he had to deal with injuries. Things didn't go the way he wanted to from a standpoint of preparation. But in 2020, all of a sudden, he was healthy, and he was able to deliver his arm strength, deliver that ball to every part of the field, off balance, off schedule, with defenders in his face, accurately. And I don't mean just short passes. I mean deep down the field. You'll see him roll out under pressure off to the right, and all of a sudden, about to be hit, drifting to the right, flick the ball, and it'll end up going 55 yards down the field and drop on a dime to a running receiver. And so this kind of arm talent revealed itself in 2020 in ways that it hadn't earlier in Zach Wilson's career. Well, and I think that's a huge part of it.
Well, much like real estate, you know, I think success is about location, location, location. And what is the best type of system for Zach Wilson, and how does it translate with potentially what Mike LaFleur would want to do, similar to what they do out in San Francisco?
Yeah, I think San Francisco is a good comparison because of what Kyle Shanahan does out there. It's kind of a scripted system that's heavy on play action pass, heavy on quarterback movement. And it requires a quarterback that's able to turn his back to the defense on the play action fake and then turn around and immediately recognize everything that they're seeing. And that's one thing that Zach Wilson showed that he can do extremely well. He's been a student of the game at the highest level. I mean, the highest level. He can tell you not just what to do on any given play, but why it needs to be done that way based on the structure of the offense, and then based on the defense and the nuances of the defense that he's facing. And he can do that after he's turned his back to the defense on a play action fake. So when a quarterback mobile system, a lot of play action, a lot of opportunities to go deep, those are the kinds of systems that he will excel in.
Trevor, switching gears quickly, you also work as a radio analyst for the Washington football team. What's been your reaction to the offseason that they've had so far?
I think it's been fantastic. I mean, they have been known to win the offseason with splash free agent signings, usually Pro Bowlers, guys that are beyond their best useful years. And the offseason, it's exciting to see some of those names, Deion Sanders, Albert Haynesworth, guys like that. And then in the regular season, they don't perform that well because they're just beyond the curve. This time, they brought in guys that I think will help them dramatically. people talk a lot about Ryan Fitzpatrick, the quarterback they brought in, Fitzmagic. I think that's a good signing. But I think wide receiver Curtis Samuel to go alongside Terry McLaurin is probably the most impactful, because Samuel will open up the field for McLaurin and Logan Thomas, the tight end. I think that one signing will make more difference in improving the people around him than any other that Washington has made so far.
We're talking with Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst, also the Washington football team radio analyst as well. And it's KJZ, but it's Barton Hahn with Chris Canty. And Trevor, Mike Greenberg said that he believes that Washington would be the favorite to win the NFC East. When you look at that division and what last year looked like for that division, you know, they could go, when you consider what Washington's done, that Dallas is getting back Dak Prescott, the Giants are adding pieces to their team as well. What's going on in Philly? I have no idea. But aside from that, three of the four teams do look like they're getting better. Do you have Washington as the favorites right now?
I do. And it's because of the improvements that they made on the offensive side of the ball in free agency. We'll see what happens in the draft. You're right about Philly. I mean, they're just a hot mess. The Giants, I think, are the biggest challenge to them because of the weapons that they've added on offense. And if Daniel Jones, a quarterback, can improve like you would expect, all of a sudden things can get more dynamic because of the new playmakers that they brought in. But I think overall it will still be Washington, and it will still be led by their defense. But last year was led by the defense in the division championship with an offense that really was – I guess the best way to describe it is anemic. But the defense was just that good. And all the offense had to do is not blow it. Just don't blow it. And that's what got them to the head of a bad division. Now that offense is much improved. I don't believe in Dallas's defense. I don't believe in anything about Philly. I think it'll come down to Washington and the Giants.
Trevor, I know you love the Ryan Fitzpatrick signing, but there's been speculation that the Washington football team would look to add a quarterback early on in this year's draft. What's your read on what they're going to do with that that first-round pick that they have?
You know, it's hard to say, and I've heard that. I would hate it if they draft one in the first round. I mean, I'd super hate it, because I think the quarterback room is good enough right now. I think Kyle Allen, by the way, might end up being the starter if he's healthy. We'll see. But I would rather that they build up the team around whoever is playing quarterback. I think there's enough there at quarterback to be an improvement in the entire quarterback production from last year. But if they improve the team around that guy, I think they'll get the best from their draft. Now, taking a quarterback in the mid rounds to develop, I get that part. But I just hope that they don't go for another quarterback. You know, I see too many teams reach for quarterbacks thinking that's the answer. And you're less likely to hit on a quarterback in the first round than you are in any other position. So right now, if they do take a quarterback, I'll probably turn purple and burst.
So tell me this. What's their biggest need as, you know, they need to try and get some more talent on that team? What's their biggest glaring need? And are they going to bring back Ryan Kerrigan?
I think their biggest glaring need is offensive line because they've addressed receiver in free agency, and I'd like to see them go receiver in the draft. And this is an exceptionally deep draft. At wide receiver, I mean, they'll be able to go in the middle rounds and get a guy that should be able to help them soon. I mean, early in his rookie season, once he gets up to speed at the NFL level. And so I think they'll be able to continue with that Curtis Samuel signing. I think they'll be able to continue to upgrade that wide receiver room. But since they've addressed that, they still need to improve on the offensive line and at depth. And since Trent Williams left at left tackle, you know, they've been okay with Cornelius Lucas at left tackle this last year, but I think what they want to do is upgrade that left tackle position. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they focus on that position, if there's a guy that is worthy of that pick when Washington picks. Now, they've got to be careful not to pick for a position of need. That's something they've done in past years. They've taken the position that they needed. They take the best guy at that position, even though there were other position players that were more highly rated at that point in the draft. The problem when you do that is that over time you populate your roster with less overall talent. You really need to take the most talented guy, right? And so I think that is what they should do. But if the most talented guy includes, if that group includes a guy that can play tackle, especially left tackle, then I would go with that position under those circumstances. You mentioned Ryan Kerrigan, who's just been a phenomenal player on this team, a phenomenal leader. But, you know, this is a defensive line and a pass rushing group that right now If Kerrigan weren't there, they'd still be one of the best in the league. I kind of hope that Kerrigan is willing to come back at a contract that's team-friendly, but we'll see. Kerrigan is a guy that you want on your team, you need in your locker room. Right now, they're so deep on the defensive line, they can afford to look elsewhere for that production.
Trevor, this is great stuff. I appreciate it. I love the fact that you're on the record that the Jets should not move on from Sam Darnold, only because that's what I've been saying. So you just make me feel good.
I told you I was right.
Thanks
you
so much.
You are absolutely right. And only the most handsome people are correct about this.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much. Hey, I just, that's how I feel, guys.
Bro, I've been there. I've been breaking this down for the last months. You want options.
I mean, this is a guy that, he's a BYU guy who's watched Zach Wilson over and over again. You think he doesn't know something, and he's like, no, the Jets should stay with Sam. It's not Sam's fault.
I don't know about that one, Alan. That's a hell of a gamble for somebody in Joe Douglas's position. I mean, think about it. His job security is going to be tied to Sam Darnold at that point.
Or Zach Wilson.
But I'd rather it be Zach Wilson, knowing that the expectations are going to be different because he would be a rookie quarterback rather than a guy going into his fourth year. I feel like Zach Wilson gives the general manager and the head coach a little more leash than Sam Darnold and running it back with him.
I have one theory.
Normally it would, but this is Joe Douglas' third season. I understand really two, but this is second season, so the process is a little sped up.
It's his second offseason.
It's okay.
Second offseason, but he just – found his first head coach, and this would be his first quarterback.
This is like the beginning. Yeah,
this is the beginning.
So here's my theory on why maybe Trevor Mattis said that the Jets should stay with Sam Darnold, because he doesn't want Zach Wilson with the Jets.
That could be that too.
Hey, Zach, I'm gonna do you a solid, just so you know. This is my gift ahead of your pro day.
You don't want to go to the Jets. If that happens, that's the case. For him, I got an icebox where my heart used to be. You better stop.
Wow.
You better step out.
All right. So the question again: your team's worst free agent signing and why? 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. Let's go to Long Island, my hometown.
Strong Island.
John, what do you have for us?
Hey, guys, love you filling in for the show.
Thank you.
I've got Jason Bay with the New York Mets.
There's a couple of New York Mets.
Bay
is definitely one that Mets fans would have on that list.
Yeah. John,
Yoannis Cespedes. Would you put Yoannis Cespedes above or below Jason Bay?
I got to go below, because when they first traded for him, he was one of the main reason they made the playoffs and made that World Series push.
So it was worth it to you? That contract was worth it to you?
He did literally nothing in his years with the Mets. He did literally nothing.
It really is true. Literally nothing is the best way to put it. Like Jacoby Ellsbury.
Yeah, come on, man, really?
The back of his card was
to be Yankees fans. Why are we bringing up Brian Cashman's lowlights?
Because that was one that was.
Yeah, that was bad.
But the best part is the Yankees could survive that. Yeah, he's not playing. He's not playing.
We're still a 100-win team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you still win 100 games a year, and you're paying this guy like a ton of money, and he's in Tampa the whole time.
That clock's due.
It's been a decade since we've been in the World Series.
This year. Yeah, but
it's a new decade.
This is the year, Bart. We've become the Cubs. Oh, my God.
The Baby Bombers are
from
now
worst
the
to the best.
AARP Bombers.
Listen to this. Is the best defender in NBA history in the league right now? He says so. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin. It's Barton Hahn with Chris Canty on ESPN Radio.
John in Oklahoma, we got to run. What you got?
Jay, he's one of my favorite point guards watching college. Key.
Thanks,
bro. Great, consistent career. Solid with my Cowboys, luckily. It was safeties, not seagulls, when you went over the middle or you wouldn't have got 800 catches. Zubin, great personality. Great job of leading the show.
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin next.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, I can defend myself.
Which was showing a little bit of boxing going on.
Sounds like a Key and Peele skit.
That was. No,
Listen, you know what I'm saying? I don't say your name right until you balled out. You know what I'm saying? So okay. If Jabbar or whatever his name
that
is.
That wasn't the remix?
That was the remix.
Oh, that was the remix?
It was from a directional school.
Yeah, yeah.
Southeast, Northwestern.
That's how you know you weren't good in high school. You go to a directional college.
Who was the player that grabbed you and said, "What's your name?"
Oh, yeah, that's disrespectful. I still, you know what I'm saying? Or Warren Sapp. Yeah, he was disrespectful. Yeah, worst braids in the history of braids.
Middle of a game, because he's acting up like Bart Scott used to do in his rookie year. And Warren Sapp just grabs him by the pads and turns him around. What's your name?
Like, who are you? I'm telling you who I am, dip boy.
I could tell he still feels a way about it, because as he's telling the story, he's staring off into space.
Yeah.
He's going back to revisit that moment in time.
Y'all know whoever,
let it go, Bart. It's okay.
Y'all know whoever braided Warren Sapp hair during those years needed to be fired.
Because they wasn't telling him the truth.
They wasn't telling him the truth.
Let it go, big fella. Let it go.
He had the O.J. Bobby Johnson braids going to the back, man. It looked like somebody just took an electric pad and just frizzed all his braids up. Anyway, I digress.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. It's Barton Hogg
with cool now,
Chris Canty. You can hear more of this madness at noon Eastern when we do our show, Barton Hogg, every day on ESPN Radio.
Oh, we ain't off?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
No, this is just the beginning. We call this the warm-up.
More me. I love that.
You love you some you, don't you? You know who loves him some him? Draymond Green. And here's why. Draymond Green, would you say, is an excellent defender.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He's a guy that he doesn't get credit enough anyway. They talk about the Warriors dynasty winning their championships. It's obviously Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. But Draymond Green's defense, toughness, attitude, all the intangibles that he brought. No question about it.
He's the energy and a heartbeat, but this one hurts.
The heartbeat, heart and soul, all those things. But he believes he's more than that.
Damn it, Draymond.
This is from Dubs Talk on NBC Sports Bay Area. Take a listen.
I think I'm the best defender to ever play this game in the NBA.
Yes.
100%. That's my opinion. 100%. I also think I view the game a lot differently than most people view the games. I think I just see it from a different perspective. I think when you look at the things that make a great defender, reaction time, toughness, being able to see the picture long before it develops, and most importantly, in order to finish a defensive possession, you got to rebound. And I think I rebound well. And so, when I look at all the facets that make up the defensive side of the ball, I think I'm great in every facet that makes up that side of the ball. And so I think I'm the best defender to ever play in the NBA. And I stand by that. I'll put myself up against anyone.
Draymond, beside himself with humility.
Listen, this pains me, right? Because he's a fellow Michigander.
Michigander?
Yeah, Michigander.
Michigander?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Michigander?
I think it's Michigander.
Well, I'll take it.
It sounds right to me.
Yeah, yeah. We make it up. It's right
could
now.
Be wrong.
Michigander,
right? He should know.
Right, Michigander, right? Like, because, you know, and we share, like, friends. Like, I mentor a guy named Morrell Evans. They're best friends. But what in that smile bright is wrong with damn Draymond Green, man? What the hell is he smoking, man, on the West Coast, the left coast, supposed to be the best coast? The best ever? Like, he's been in Michigan. He understands right there. The worm, Dennis Rodman, was right there. The best defender of all time. But come on. Even right now, I know he's been running around on the Geico commercial, but right now Matumbo's like, no. No, no, Draymond. You don't have a shot in hell. Alonzo Mourning, the glove, and the eraser himself, my cousin, Scottie Pippen. Come on, son. Bill Russell, like the best ever. You're not even the best in this era
right
now.
You're also missing one. Hakeem Olajuwon.
Okay.
Who's the all-time leader in blocks.
Thank you. Like, the guy that, I can't get them all.
I can't do all the damn
Hey, listen, everybody focuses on the Dream Shake, but people forget that the Dream was a hell of a defender.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt about that.
Like Draymond. Come on,
David
man.
Robinson was a great defensive player. There were a lot of big men who were great defensive players who were erasers. They were the guys in the back line of the defense that allowed some of the guards to just let them through because I'll take care of business back here.
All he had to
Kevin Garnett was a great defensive player. The glove, Gary Payton. I don't know if you mentioned him, but
Kareem.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a great defensive player. You did mention Bill Russell's still alive, and he said these things.
Yeah,
like Bill Russell had to live to hear Draymond Green say that. That's the part I think frustrates me the most. Like, what there's sometimes where the we as younger generation
it's the podcast,
when you say stuff like that and put it out in the world, you're not aware that there are people that are still alive that claim that crown that have to hear you say that. Like, that's the part I think that where Draymond says this, I respect his
he would have been cool.
Confidence.
All he had to say was one of the best. All he had to say is one of the best.
He just left it open-ended.
Or the best of my era?
Best ever?
Man, Tony Allen went after him on Twitter.
Get at it. Like, did he hit him with a child, please?
he probably should have. But here's the thing, Allen. I just don't understand why Draymond feels like he has to be the one to say it. Like, leave it up to somebody else to tell us how great you are as a player. Like, I get the part of it with the psychology of the athlete and wanting to say that you're the best, needing to believe that you're the best. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to talking about your accolades and everything that you've done or continue to do in the NBA, like, let the fans, let the media talk about that. It doesn't serve you to come out there and say it on a podcast or whatever medium that I'm the best to have ever done it defensively in the NBA. Because mm-hmm. that's just not true, first of all. But second of all, like, it seems self-aggrandizing. Like, it's just like pump the brakes on
Are you surprised,
Chris, hold up, man. Let me stop that.
Spell that again.
I can't spell it. I know how to use it.
I'm about to say, I got to use it. I mean, I'm trying to write it down, man. Every day I get a word out the thesaurus, like higher learning, man.
I know we on ESPN, but this ain't script spelling bee. I can't do that for you. I ain't got that.
All right, I'm about to say origin. But I tell you what, my therapist told me that's like an inferiority complex that I have. You know what I mean? Because he got the little man complex, right? Mm. Because he felt like he always had a chip on his shoulder, had to work for everything. So I've been there, so I get it. You know what I'm saying? I've been there. So he's trying to tell – he has to tell you
how
great
he
is because other people don't say it. And these podcasts are getting a lot of cats in trouble, man, because they forget that this stuff is going to be put out and he's going to have to respond to it. And then, you know, yesterday, it must have been the 76ers must have been listening to it because they gave him that damn work.
Yeah. So what you're saying is because them podcasts are done in comfortable settings, guys start talking
they
out
let
of
their
school
hair
a little
down,
bit.
You
just,
know what I'm saying?
Just like, real reckless with
just
it.
Like just like your boy from the Ravens, right? What's your guy named up there for the Ravens? He got on there with the podcast talking about Houston, about how Deshaun's going to be here. Then he's like, oh, he ain't going to be here. Then somebody's like, hit him up on the pager, told him, hey, man, you need to go check yourself. And he changed everything.
That's why almost like instead of these chairs that we each have guests, his couch, dim the lights.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you know I'm ready to get rid of these chairs.
Yeah.
These chairs are
made for nobody people told you to be six. Nobody told you to be 6'12".
Well, Bart, I didn't have a whole lot of choice in the matter. My dad is 6'6", and my mom is 6'.
You
want to blame somebody, blame them. But this chair don't work for me. I got a little too much backyard.
Any kids
back
in the car right now on your way to school wondering, 6'12"?
Ask your parents. It's a thing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But it's like when you go, like Chris, like he's like, gay, like when you go to the go-kart riding place, they got to bring you the slow one. You know what I'm saying? That the one you can fit in.
Well,
you
I got to
like,
get the slow go-kart.
Because you got to get the big one. You get the big one. And you look in there looking like King Poop on Mario Kart. Meanwhile, we driving around, you know what I'm saying, having fun because we fit. Nobody told you to be oversized.
Nobody told you
helped
to be
out
oversized.
In my former line of work.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did it work out for him?
Yeah, you the first one to know it's raining.
Draymond beside himself with humility, no doubt about it. Well, from a bad
you
take, I'm trying.
That's
from
smooth.
A bad
That's
take
smooth.
To the worst free agent signings of all time, that's been a theme today. We'll discuss that more after I tell you about Cintas. Today, people expect a new level of clean. Cintas provides a wide range of essential products and services that help businesses keep their facilities and employees clean and safe. Cintas will keep you well-stocked with essentials, supplies like face masks, hand sanitizer, gloves, and thermometers. Cintas will hygienically clean and deliver your uniform. Cintas also helps you protect employees and customers with first aid and safety supplies and fire protection services. Cintas helps you open your doors with confidence every day. Learn how Cintas can help you keep your business clean and safe at Cintas.com. Get Cintas and get ready for the workday.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, Barton Hahn, Chris Canty sitting in today. And, boys, this has been fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like old times for us, CC.
Yeah, a little bit of a throwback.
I enjoyed it.
But then when you throw Bart in the mix, it just, let him stir it up a little
bit. This gets special.
Yeah.
Shake and bake.
Energy just rises up. It's something about defensive players. I don't know what it is. There's a different type of intensity. Offensive players, to me, like former players, when you talk to them, they're offensive players, a little more laid back, a little more like, you know, like too cool for school. You guys just get after it.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
You got to be a little more off when you're on the defensive side of the ball. Like,
you're trying to stop somebody.
The offensive guys are cerebral. You know, they try to outthink you. Like, defense is like, see ball, get ball. See ball, hit ball. Like, that's all there is to it. Like, so you got to kind of bring your own energy when it comes to the guys on defense.
What did the five fingers say to the face? Smack! Cold-blooded.
That's it. Like, defensive players, like, we love the opportunity to knock you out. It doesn't matter if we knock ourselves out. But as long as we get you, that's all that matters.
You had to see J. Will's face the other day when Bart was explaining the hold them up.
Oh,
like
yeah.
If there's certain players you don't like on the other side, you're a little chirping.
Red dot the guy. Yeah.
Red dot.
Red dot the guy.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Hold his ass up. Don't let him fall.
Yeah, they do. Jay, as Bart's describing it, one guy holds him up, the other one, and Jay's just looking at him like mouth agape, like.
Oh, yeah.
Like that happens?
Oh, yeah. We want all hats to the football with this guy. All hats to the football. Make him tap out, right, Bart?
Like Clubber Lane. I got a lot of mo. I got a lot of mo.
I got a whole lot of mo.
Well, the Bucks might have a lot more. They certainly have some money to spend. How about this now? Adam Schefter reporting that the Bucks are finalizing a one-year deal, $10 million for Ndamukong Suh. Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah.
The Bucks also reaching an agreement with offensive tackle Donovan Smith. That's a two-year, $31.8 million contract extension through 2023. It includes a $30 million guaranteed over the next two seasons. Again, Adam Schefter reporting all of this. So maybe they weren't kidding. They are bringing the band back.
Yeah, they were drunk, but he was telling the truth. But that's what it is, though, right? Also, when people look at the Smith deal just creates the space to sign Sue.
Right.
So just so people know, like, the inner workings of how all this stuff works. It's all accounting.
Right, but what, like, just quickly looking at it and seeing now Sue added to the mix, you're seeing obviously they've just been bringing everyone back.
Mm-hmm.
Do they look like the team to you guys that, you know what, if they come back as the same team they were, they could repeat. They could be that team that would be the favorites going into next season.
Well, the last quarterback to repeat was Tom Brady, right?
That is true.
Back in 2003, 2004. So, I mean, I feel like the Bucks have all the pieces that are in place in order to be able to do it again. I'm not going to say run it back because I don't want B.A. to get mad at me. But I feel like they have everything in place to go on another title run. I would say the next two teams in the NFC would probably be the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
And then what the Los Angeles Rams did in trading for Matt Stafford to go along with that defense.
They are interesting.
Those would be the top three teams.
That's
but I
favorite.
Feel like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a little bit ahead of those other two.
The Rams are for me. The Rams for me by far, because I think people are going to be surprised how great Stafford is.
So the Rams are the favorite. You're
the
saying
favorite.
The Rams should be the favorite. Over the Packers.
To me, listen, that number one defense is only going to get better. And I love – people don't realize just how special Matthew Stafford is. like I said, going to Detroit is where careers go to die. I've lived it. Like I said, I've been there from Barry Sanders to Ndamukong Suh to Calvin Johnson. Listen, you want to go there and be a great player, they know how to ruin careers. You talk about Houston, how all those great players ruin careers. Now, listen, it could change, and maybe Dave Campbell is biting kneecaps and Achilles tendons and all that stuff. But right now, I'm telling you, Matthew Stafford is a special talent, and we've been robbed of his greatness, and we're going to see it on full display. And if Deshaun Jackson can keep his ass out of the garage, he always hurt like a Ferrari check engine light always on. Listen, they are going to be special, and they should be the favorite. They're not going to be the favorite, but I think in my mind they're the favorite to win the championship.
Chris, I use a lot of the sayings that I've learned from you over the years, and one of them, it's hard to eat when you're full.
Yeah.
And that's what I worry about with Tampa. Kind
I don't worry
already?
About it. You know why I don't worry about
why?
It? Because they got number 12 under center.
Mm.
That's why I don't worry
about
it.
He's always hungry,
isn't
he?
That guy is always hungry. I don't know how he keeps that chip on his shoulder, Al. We're talking about 21 years in the National Football League. How is it still there?
What more is there to accomplish,
how
right?
How is it still
Giselle
there?
Giselle said it to him. What more do you need to do?
He's got 7 championships. He's got more Super Bowl trophies than any other franchise.
Yeah, but it's not him. It's the other guys. It's the other guys that don't know how to be full.
Well, let's remember this, though. The biggest thing that happened in Tampa was changing the culture.
Yeah.
Like Tom Brady was the one that was responsible for that. So we can't credit him with changing the culture and then sit back and say, well, we're worried about this team becoming complacent.
Because
if the culture is going to reflect the attitude of their quarterback, mm-hmm. then we should feel fairly confident that they're not going to take anything for granted.
I say that because when you look at when he was able to win all those championships and go back-to-back in New England, those pieces was constantly turning over. So it was guys that were coming there that was hungry because they didn't have one. So they like, man, I want one too. So they kept that same energy. With everybody there, everybody's full. Everybody in that building's full outside of the people that you draft. So with that being said, you know, the guys are going to start having local signings. They're going to start filling themselves. And do you start letting things slip? And what happens is they're used to being the underdog. Now they're going to be the hunted. Everybody's going to be trying to make a name off of them. And I don't know if they're mature enough to handle that. And we shall find out. But I'm going to take the Rams because I'm telling you, Stafford's special.
Let's take a few more calls before we call it a day because our topic was your team's worst free agent signing. 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. This is one I want to get Bart's reaction to. Jared in Connecticut. Go ahead, Jared.
Hey, guys. What's up? So I knew Bart would love this one. I'm a lifelong Lions fan, born and raised in Michigan, 28 years. Not necessarily free agent signing, but the worst signing in the team's history is Matt Millen.
Yo.
He ruined our team for years.
Yo. And listen, I'm glad that he's healthy now so I can tell his ass that I hate you. Listen, this dude ruined. This dude took 3 receivers 3 years in a row, and all of them was out of the league in 5 years. Like, what the hell is he doing? Like, I didn't know what type of, like, pictures of the Ford family that he had. Well, he was holding them hostage. But, man, he ruined that organization.
On
so I'm glad
Greenies
that he's
next.
Healthy now.
Charles Barkley,
and that's
15
why
minutes.
You
Spartans
suck,
will see
Matt
you at
Millen.
Noon Eastern.
I just call him Sergeant Slaughter with that shit.
And listening.